Tarago trash.
Warning: the following episode contains lower shelf material and will self-destruct once better content has been recorded.
Hey, it's Damien here, and I've just listened to Aim to Please on the Prefer Others B-Sides comp. To be honest, the song's never really stood out to me. I can see why it was a B-side. The song is good. It's good enough. Maybe it's lacking a certain something, although it's hard to say what that certain something is. Although my usual response to those things is to say that they should go back to the old days and add some more trumpet. And mandolin. Trumpet and mandolin can improve any song. I was thinking maybe it could work a bit better if it was, you know, a bit more stripped back, a bit slower, one of Coxey's, you know, solo acoustic-y tracks, maybe. Even lyrically, it was a bit confusing. Who's he aiming to please? Has he written it from the point of view of the rock star aiming to please the audience or the record company? Lyrics don't really suggest that. I'm sure you've probably got some theories about this, John. I look forward to hearing them. I do like some of the lyrical flourishes. There's a Shakespearean reference. Tears for Fears make an appearance there in the lyrics. I'm not sure why, though. Can you enlighten me, John? Anyway, the song is fine. That's all I can say.
Have either of you guys seen Coxey, the Foves, play it live? I've seen it a few times, and Coxey used to put an adjective in about the hair, standing there running my fingers through my hair in day job. And sometimes live he used to put, say, oily or thinning or greasy, as a joke.
That's Blue Belt, though.
Oh,
sorry. My fingers.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to.
Oh, no. Thank you for correcting me. It's Friday. I'm really tired.
Oh, I get that.
Can you cut that out, John?
I can.
Thanks.
Put it in tangent.
I really don't.
Everyone say edit point. Say edit point.
Edit point. Please and thank you.
But then that was when I.
You'll have all the Foves nerds on Facebook jumping down your neck.
I don't need that as a venue owner. I don't need that. Everyone jumps down my neck is, you know, every day. Why don't you have X beer? You know, I got just so many complaints. Yeah. It's shit. And it's just ring me up and talk to me. Like, don't put it on Facebook.
Well, Coxey, that's about it. We've got like hours more of questions. Oh. But time's running out.
Happy to do it again in the future. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
Your guys' interest and support for our band is incredible. So, it's interesting to, because you remind me of things that I'd forgotten about, and it's been really fun. What is it? 3 hours? It's absolutely flown by. And it'll be harder to get, because I told you I spoke to Ted just before I spoke to you, and I said, as far as I'm aware, John's got on to you about speaking to you.
Yes, please, I did. Yeah,
and he's like, oh, I don't know anything about that. And then he looked through his email, and he's like, oh, yeah, here it is. But don't take offence, because I was speaking the other day, I'd emailed him, I was speaking about some show next June, he's like, first I've heard of it. And it's like, fuck you, Ted, I've emailed you all this. Oh, well, I get a lot of emails. So he doesn't even open my emails. But
yeah,
great. But, yeah, I'll make sure the other guys – I mean, I think Adam and Phil have said they're available, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I did with Phil, I thought it might be too much effort, so I've just submitted him actual questions for him to
Phil
record
Phil will totally
his
do
answers.
It. He'll, yeah, with a bit of shoving. Like, but he'll enjoy it. Yeah, he will, yeah. And Doug will too. Like, and so will Ted. They've just got to be – you know, my job really in the band, as much as anything, is just constantly having to prod and push them because, Yeah, but they'll be fine to do it. Yeah.
I should ask Doug when I have the chance. Now, it's funny, you know, when we had that 5 kilometer radius at one point, like just, you know, I'm just going for a bike ride and go, oh, there's Doug. He's taking his dog for a bit of a jog. You know, we can't go anywhere else. So, yeah. But anyway. Oh, yeah. No, thanks. Thanks so much. Now, you can tell that we're all wanting to, we've got so much that we want to talk about, each song and each
well,
histories and just.
Yeah. As I say, we really appreciate of the fact that you guys are so interested in our band, and it's been really good fun, so happy to do it again.
Just even when we're talking about each song, it's just like going to the live show. It's just, I know, things you talk about in between the shows that not everyone's there and remembers it, but you know me, like I've got some sort of recording of it. You know, it's just, it's fun. It's interesting. It's it's very unique. I don't think I know another band that I've been able to follow so much. So enjoy. Anyway, but yeah, we could keep going on.
Well, thank you, Coxie. You can Dropbox me your recordings.
No worries. Yep, I'll do that tonight.
Cool. Make sure to save this one.
Yep, we'll do.
Great. All right. Well, thank you very much. Zoom's let us record. Usually makes us pay, I think, so that's great.
Oh, right. Yeah, because
thank you, Coxie. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Love
see you
it.
Soon.
See
you.
So bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Whee! That's perfect.
Cool.
All right.
Now, Neil, at one stage in the future, after the podcast has ended, I might put the entire interview up, but most likely I'm just going to chop you up where it's appropriate in the Fove story.
Yeah, no worries. Cool.
But I'll do a shitty intro now, and then I'll begin the questions. So you all ready?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you are a Something for Kate fan?
A little bit. Probably more now than earlier. When I initially find you singing a little bit whiny, but now I'm a bit more into it.
The bush sound.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Well, anyway, he actually had a really obscure solo album called "Scared of Horses," I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just followed his whims a little bit more, and it just showed a little bit of a different side, a bit more. Some of the songs are almost ballady, and he had Glenn Richards from Augie March, and it sounds a bit like more Augie March than Something for Kate. Stop Start Theatrics that I love, happen to love, but it. He could release some let off some steam in a bit more of an indie. I don't know. I haven't listened to that album for a long time.
Would you say Jebediah are underrated or unremunerated compared to the Fauves?
not compared to the Fauves.
I think the Jebediah are doing
okay, but the Fauves, our dear Fauves.
13 albums, you know, no real breaks.
No, I know that's what's so solid about them. It's amazing.
It was such a portentous omen of the band's immediate future that even a two-bit Nostradamus would not fail to notice. What was the band's mind space at year's end? Were they keeping it together? Coxie.
My favourites, but the more I hear it, the more I think, oh, man, that's really good. And it's definitely about Jack.
Well, guys, let me know when you're ready.
I'm good.
Okay. Won't let me resume new recording 39, so new recording 40 is the second half of this.
Cool. I'll get the Zoom later recording. I think we're continuing your thought, Ben, so I'll let you just... I forget what you said. But... All right, one second.
Recording in progress.
Oh, I remember. One second.
Enjoyed the kicking on episode. Great. Yeah, really good. Yeah, that song grows on me more and more. I think it's never been one of my favourites, but the more I hear it, the more I think, oh, man, that's really good.
Oh, man, what's going on?
Wait, hang on. Let me just grab a bottle of water from the...
No, this is what he used to write in My Say on the website or in Shred. He said, I hate
I hate the Fauves pity party. How journalists are constantly calling us criminally underrated and stuff. Like we know we're geniuses, but people don't understand, you know. And you know, almost rock journalists prefer they prefer to have 1/10 of what we do, being on stage. And we know it's a vain fantasy we're living. You know, we've been around for 12 years, 20 years, still no hits, but we're still going. And people should be envy of us. And everyone that I think you're right. He thinks it's quite good. They've been going for 40 years almost, and they still, as you know, they're still together. They've never really had any big breaks as a band. They've had those 7 years between German Engines and Driveway Heart Attack. But unlike most of the 90s bands that are reuniting now, or Super Jesus, sorry to give other bands shit, but you've been away for 10 years, we're great. But like the Fauves have never had more than, you know, 6 months off between a gig, I think. So the Fauves they're a hobby band, sure. They've all had jobs now for like 2 decades plus. But yeah, everyone should be envious of them. So Coxie rates himself. He just goes, I rate myself. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good.
All right. Well, all is well in Fauve Town. No, it's actually the favourite game. It has a the. Yeah, we had the. We were a the band, but well before the Stripes and the Strokes and all that.
Welcome back to Fauves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and today we have first-time guest, Ben Ward. Hello, Ben.
G'day, John.
I was thinking, oh no, did I accidentally say Bruce Ward, or who played Robin in Batman and Robin in the 60s? What's the Ward? Who am I thinking of?
Not sure. Before my time.
Let's start this again. Sorry, man. What's his name?
Played Batman.
You know the guy who talks sort of like this? Sorry. Anyway, we'll start again. It's all right. You keep recording, yeah?
Burt Ward.
Burt Ward, that's what I'm thinking of. Sorry.
I've never heard of him.
We'll start again completely, okay?
Okay.
In contrast, is that faster than baseball? There's no crossover.
I reckon, I don't know, I reckon baseball would be quicker, wouldn't it? Because they're actually bending the elbow and it's a different action, whereas when you're bowling, you're not supposed to bend the elbow more than once. So, yeah, that's where that Muralitharan issue came in. Yeah, I think baseball, they'd be slinging it in a lot quicker, but I haven't watched a lot of baseball to really know.
It's just 40 minutes free, yeah. Anyway, I better get going, man.
Yeah, cool.
Save. I'm going to do TV Star with Michael now. Bye. See ya. Yeah, I don't know if you listen to the podcast Empire. It's by the same one as The Rest is History, and they've had a few episodes on cricket, and they were mentioning that, you know, the egalitarian part of Australia's history when they were playing the first Ashes against England. You know, in England, the captain was like, had to be basically an aristocrat, and the captain would pick the side. Whereas in Australia from day dot, it was like, we'll pick the best people, the side, and then they'll elect the captain. They were mentioning before Bodyline, like in the 20s, they said that batting was like for the amateurs, or for the real prestige was the bowling, yeah? Whereas they let the commoners do batting or something, or that was like the dirtier side of cricket, or like something. Maybe I picked up the wrong thing. But it's interesting to note that, and there was an Australian team before there was even the Federation, like a national team. That's pretty cool.
It is, yeah. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
They invented it over there, and we've perfected it over here, I think. Recent times, anyway.
Moving on, I guess Shock were happy. I mean, I don't know why they would not be. The band were happy with everything.
Yeah. It's like I said, you know, the quote that they think it's the video where they've looked the coolest ever on film. So yeah, I think everyone was happy with it. I was happy with it. I thought it came across really well. You know, it's again, for those days, I don't think anyone was committing large sums of money to it. So I don't think there was a massive expectation anyway. But it's certainly, as far as I was concerned, and I guess the band, I think we hit the brief that we'd sort of discussed and the concept we'd come up with. It definitely came across in that style. It definitely, you know, ticked off everything that we were trying to achieve in terms of the look and the feel and how it presented them. So I guess, you know, in that way, it doesn't matter what the record company think. I think as long as the band's happy, you know, it gets added onto their debt pile at the record company.
And I mean, you still must have a bit of pride in it yourself. It's still on your showreel, a little bit of it. Well, one that I saw on YouTube.
So. Yeah, that's a very long time ago, that showreel. Yeah.
Don't get rid of it.
No. It's the internet. It stays on there. Yeah, look, I can't say I watch it regularly, but I probably watched it in the lead up, you know, maybe a few months ago when we first started talking about doing this, just to remember what it was like.
I think Coxie was using the word old flag ironically, because I think it's only like 80 years old or something, the flag.
Mm.
Like someone was writing that at Gallipoli, most of the time they just had the Union Jack, the English flag they had there. I've got to confirm that. But, you know, it's not old really. Anyway, come on, join in, because the push is on to make Up There Kazali our favourite song. So the famous, if you're outside of Victoria, that song was used in AFL all the time. And it's probably been replaced now with Holy Grail or something from the Hunters and Collectors, because that's what they always play. Yeah. Michael, lyrics. Celebrate the failure. You ought to be congratulated. Now, Michael, I'm very happy because this is the first ad reference in a Fove song that I actually get, that I actually remember. The Meadow Lea ad, very famous, even for a young millennial like me. I remember those ads.
Mm. I don't know if you've spent too much time listening to the promo disc that came out around the time of Thousand Yard Stare,
yes.
Where, you know, Coxie talks about the songs. Yeah. And I think with this one, he's talking about it being inspired by his relationship with his ex-wife, calling it a trip to Painesville, mentioning she was a former Siamese twin. He's a dried-up prune in need of a laxative. And then he ends up talking to one of the country's foremost scholars on jams and preserves or something. I think he mentions Junie Morosi, Jim Cairns, and Vladimir Nabokov as well.
Let's talk about the year it came out as well, 2000. So I had a look at the ARIA top 10 for that year, like the highest-selling records. The Beatles 1 was number one. That was when they reissued all their number one singles in one CD for the first time. And then number two was Odyssey number 5 by Powderfinger, which sold 5 times platinum that year, which is 350,000 copies back when CDs were between $20 and $30, which is quite remarkable. Third highest was Affirmation by Savage Garden. That actually came out November the previous year. Number four was The Power by Vanessa Amorosi. And number five was Reflector by Killing Heidi. So four of the top five were Australian artists. And the other one was The Beatles. So it's quite a big year for Australian music. I had a quick look at all the records that came out that year as well, and there's a lot of great ones. The Avalanche's Since I Left You, Tex Perkins' Dark Horses, Odyssey No. 5, which we mentioned before, which was also on Polydor, which the Foes had just been booted from, so I'm sure they watched that with a mixture of feelings. There's Augie March, Sunset Studies, Magic Dirt, What a Rock Star's Doing Today, Body Jar, How It Works, the Roll On Summer EP by Paul Kelly, not technically an album, but it did have the Every Fucking City song on it, which is a classic, Roll On by The Living End, another Roll On, and Super Jesus Jet Age as well. And if you look back to the last 3 months of 99, a bunch of awesome records came out then as well, which kind of dominated the Hottest 100 and just the general market in 2000. There was Beautiful Sharks by Something for Kate, Jebediah of Someday Shambles, Grinspoon's Easy, The Whitlams' Love This City, and even Affirmation, as we mentioned before, that was November that came out. So there was quite a lot of heavy lifting being done by Australian artists back in 2000 in terms of just pure record sales and radio play. It was a very healthy time. And of course, Thousand Yard Stare with Celebrate the Failure, which was as close to a hit single as they got off that record, although everyone seemed to completely misunderstand it and think it was some kind of wry commentary on the 2000 Olympics. By the way, the soundtrack to the 2000 Olympics was one of the top 20 selling albums of 2000 as well, so wasn't all good.
Can you hear this, John? Can you hear that? I went the synth instead of the guitar this time.
Do we know the flavour of the paddle pops?
Oh, man, I hope they were banana.
Well, that's it.
Let's get started, guys. So, all right.
Oh, do you want me to play it now or later?
No, do it later. Is that all right?
Sure.
I'll have to send you. We've only got 8 minutes left, so I'll do another Zoom after this. Yep. Edit point. I'll edit this. Edit point.
Looking outside of Australia, though, for albums, it's a tough one. There's so many great records. Like, I'm always amazed at how many amazing records came out in 1999. That was a huge thing. And for some reason, that eclipses my view of the new millennium. But 2000 had some great albums as well. And I don't know, I think I really have to go for, and this is going to make me sound like an absolute nerdy prick, or pretentious wanker, whatever you want to call me. But the album by Canadian band Godspeed You Black Emperor called Lift Your Skinny Fists Like Antennas to Heaven. They're a post-rock band. So for anyone who doesn't know what post-rock is, it's a much more sort of cinematic version of rock music. So I don't know if anyone has seen the movie 28 Days Later, but that used a few songs by Godspeed in the soundtrack. It's not on the actual soundtrack, but you hear it in the movie, I think. Or it might have been the trailer. I can't remember which, but there was some crossover. But the way I like to view post-rock is, imagine that you're listening to the soundtrack to the apocalypse, and it's this mixture of emotions. There's the build-up, the tension, the beauty, the release, and everything. That's not to say it's soundtrack music, but it works so well. This is the double album. It's two discs. It's a really long album, but it's only four songs. And it was their second album, and it was the one that actually, it really sort of made people take notice of the band. There's some really beautiful stuff in here. Again, it uses samples, but it uses these samples from like really obscure places. Like, one thing that the band sort of do at one point, they're just taking recordings of like a gas station in the US, and it's so sort of ambient, but it works really well. There's these, I think it's like a pitched down version of a female preacher that sounds so apocalyptic as well. And it's so creepy, but it works so, so well. But yeah, the songs are like, you know, 20 minutes long each, or just about that, like 10 to 20 minutes or something. But it's so beautiful. I really love the song Sleep from this album. Hearing that one live years ago was such a huge thing for me. But look, I'm a huge fan of Godspeed You Black Emperor. I've currently got a tattoo of something from their third album on my forearm. And I truly love this band, and I truly recommend anyone listen to them. They've recently taken their music off of Spotify, so you'll have to find other avenues to listen to it. But yeah, it is... it's well worth the trip. I really recommend it. Obviously, if you're a fan of the Fauves, there might not be a huge crossover. Like, if you go into it hoping for a few sort of sing-alongs like, you know, Dogs Are the Best People or Self Abuser, you're probably going to be disappointed. But if you've got time to listen to it in the background, or even just pop some headphones on, listen to it really closely. Look, do it for me. Do it for your old pal Tyler. Listen to Godspeed You Black Emperor, and it'll either make you incredibly euphoric like it does me. It might make you depressed. Who knows? But either way, you're going to feel something, and that's what's amazing. And after you've done that, try and convince the band to come back to Australia. It's been 7 long years, and I had to go to the States to see them last time. So, love that band. Well, mate, that's me rambling for about 23 minutes. So, 24 minutes, I think. So, yeah, look, if that... if there's anything I haven't touched on, anything you want me to mention more, please let me know. I can add things, send you another recording as well, whatever you might need. Look, thanks, mate. I hugely, hugely appreciate your time as always. And you may also notice, if you're listening closely, I'm actually recording this on a desktop this time, as opposed to my laptop, which decided to overheat to hell last time. So you don't have to cut out any of this goddamn overheating fan noise in the background. I do apologize for that so much. All you have to deal with this time is this crow that I have outside my window that is there every morning, every night.
How you been, John?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good.
The weather's nice here. It was yesterday. Went down to the beach last night. A bit muggy.
Did you?
It was good, yeah. South Melbourne.
Victoria is probably the state I know the geography of the least. I'm not very good with Melbourne at all.
Well, you know, as the crow flies, it's only about 4Ks from St Kilda Beach, you know, Nick Cave.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know St Kilda.
Oh, you know St Kilda, yeah.
Yeah, every time I've been there, it's pretty much the only place I've gone. Or Carlton and Carlton and St Kilda and Richmond. Where's my recording app? Man, come on. It's not letting me search for some reason.
What do you normally use, Cubase or Sound Recorder?
Or I just use Sound, yeah, normal Sound Recorder. Oh, here it is. Okay. I must have been on a weird... I linked my phone to my computer and it was a bad idea. And recording. Okay.
You're recording, Millie?
I am.
Let's get the Zoom later recording.
Where's Zoom recording later? In progress.
There we go.
A reminder for me, for like 30 years, I've been promising myself, you've got to check out Mike McGear, Scaffold, you know, McCartney's brother. I've never really checked out his music, but apparently there's some good stuff there. Yeah.
That's a great idea because like this sort of, pop culture is such a weird filter and we're seeing the opposite of that now where there's precious little filtering other than just the algorithm and what people sort of follow and then that, you know, the way that kind of works, whereas I'm drawing a long bow here, but if you grew up back then and you had a brother who made it through past the gatekeepers and did something amazing, the chances of anyone really looking at your efforts are pretty slim, I'm guessing. I don't know if that theory even makes sense, but like, I guess one thing that sort of illustrates that is...
The Baldwin brothers, the Daddo brothers?
I'm trying to think of now I'm having, I still have the concussion, by the way. I'm not entirely blaming my
questions.
Linda McCartney is what I was trying to say. Like there's, I listened to one of her songs and like no one would ever give that the time of day, partly the timing that it came out in, but also just that Paul McCartney, you can't view Linda McCartney with any clarity. Because of Paul McCartney, there's no way that's happening. But I chucked on a song on YouTube like a few years ago, and it was just fantastic. And it sounded like it just came out too. That was the weird thing about it. It sounded like to me,
was it a reggae song?
No,
was it Seaside Woman?
No, it was just really. See, I've got to weigh my words a little bit. I'm not going to weigh my words. It had a certain kind of naive pop thing about it. And it was just really, I don't know, just, I think I was mostly stunned by how current it felt. It reminded me of something that like sort of like indie Australian labels would put out back in the early 2000s. But I really get all my references wrong. People will say that makes no sense. But anyway, it was beautiful. And it's just a good case in point of like the filter, right? And it's not just gatekeepers, it's your own preconceptions. Once you have something in your head, you just, you know, who's really going to check out Paul McCartney's brother's stuff? It's available, but people aren't doing it.
I want to, and I will.
That was one repetition of it that was right.
So, Thousand Yard will speak to you one day about joining us on one of those. Oh, you're going to join us for Medium Pacer, the actual single itself, yeah? Maybe with your mate Robbo, yeah.
Robbo from Launceston. Yeah. Apparently he's not the biggest fan of that song, but he loves Medium Pacer. He's starting to like the Foves, and he's a big fan of cricket and knows a lot about Medium Pacers.
I wonder if he would have known like that. That Maxie Walker was born in Tassie.
he would have been all over that, yeah.
While Doug was legless, Ted also had a problem with his leg.
How do you manage to rock so hard when you have a fragile knee?
Coxie says, late night pedestrian action you had after a Fove's gig, is that right?
No, it was after a band I was mixing called The Earthmen. And I ran across the road and tripped and shattered my patella. That's the scar.
It's a solid scar.
Yeah, that's like 7 operations later.
Jeez.
But it's fine. I can get by.
So I'm finished missing